You guys are muted for now.
Yeah. STI. How to change your heart. Yeah. Yeah. Follow me right here. I went from so many. And too much. Woo. And then I narrowed it down. Look, I ain't never been into the title thing. Cause I figured that the next step was buy a ring. Never thought I'd be saying, girl, this is not a fling. Or be trying to sing, but shorty, you're my girl. Just in case you had a doubt. Yeah. STI. How to change your heart. Yeah. Yeah, right here.
Me. Welcome to yet another installment of The Emotion Picture. I am your host, Victorious, and to my left we have our co-host. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Jackson Jackson.
Hello.
Jazz, where are you at tonight?
Actually, I am home again this week. I just got back from Tallahassee, headed to Orlando, Richmond, New York, Atlanta. Catch me if you can.
That's why we call it Jet Setting Jasmine, because you don't know where she's going to be.
You don't need to know either.
Well, do you have different people you see in these places? Are you working? What do you do?
All of it. All of the above.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I love to check out our listeners whenever I can, if I'm in a city, so try to keep you guys posted.
All right. And you can check out our itinerary at jetsetandjasmine.com. Shameless plug. But let's and Sha is gonna be late. I think people who are familiar with the show know that's no surprise, but he'll be here. So
I want to, before we start, I want to go back at once we reach the 1 year mark, and I want to look at all the topics when Sha doesn't show up.
Oh,
because
okay.
I think there's a theme.
It may be a pattern or something like that.
There is a pattern.
Okay, that's deep right there. Well, today's show, we set the pattern off with polyamory, when one is not enough. And, that's just how I put it. I'm not sure if that's the way that people who are actually polyamorous see it. But poly meaning many, and amory, the root word being love. So it's pretty much, from my layperson viewpoint, we have experts calling in later, is that it's you have orientation, or others would say lifestyle, where you have more than one partner. You know, and I think that polygamy and polyandry may be subsets of polyamory, but I have no idea. So definitely we're going to figure that out. But Jazz and I, we did take a test. You know, one of our producers, Oasis, she set it up with a website. I think it's called OKCupid. And the test was the poly acceptance test. And the poly acceptance test asks about 50 questions, and most of it had nothing really to do with, you know, sex or love. It really had to do with everything but that, actually. But somehow they were able to come up with a diagnosis for us. And I think Jazz wants to share first.
Yes. Both Victorious and I were way poly.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay,
you're not going to have
poly,
me share
so
my results.
I was way poly. So.
My results. Yay. I mean, which I think is way cool. And I was very surprised. I was very, very surprised. I thought that I would probably be at the other end of the spectrum, a little bit more conservative, right? Everybody who knows me is rolling their eyes. And way poly really just means that we're very tolerant of poly people, and we may or may not be practicing the lifestyle either as swingers or poly fidelists. or polyamorous in general. But either way, we embrace the abundance of the mentality, and we definitely can see that there's an opportunity to love more than one romantic partner.
There is.
According to the test.
I believe that. And Shah did the test, and his said that he was progressive. And that said that he's mostly comfortable with things that are popular. And polyamory isn't exactly the fashion statement. So he's still in favor of evolving humanity, and he lives and let live. So I guess that means that he's not knocking it, but he ain't trying it, which is fine with me, isn't my business. But so Jasmine, how accurate is that? I'm sure your friends would be surprised.
Well, you know what? I mean, okay. So when right before I took the test, you know, I said, oh, my goodness, what if I come out, you know, as a person? Yeah, way poly. And then as I was taking the test, I mean, the questions in itself, we'll send out the link so that our listeners can try it too. But the questions that they were asking, I was completely honest when I was answering. And, you know, they weren't all, you know, sexual in nature, like some of the misconceptions I'm sure that we'll talk about tonight. And they didn't really conflict with many of my values. So it was just really interesting to come out that way. I know I'm a very tolerant person, very open to different points of views. I just didn't know that I would come out on that end of the spectrum. How about yourself? Were you surprised?
Nah, no. I was surprised that I wasn't, like, higher on the scale. I think that polyamory, I think that, you know, there's nothing really wrong with that. You know, I think that, you know, this whole soulmate thing, you know, it may or may not be true, I don't know. But, I mean, love is so strong and so powerful that it's really tough to limit that to one experience. I don't see one person, but, you know, it's one experience. You know, definitely I think that, not necessarily me, but a lot of people struggle, you know, not even on the sexual tip. A lot of people struggle trying to fit themselves into the monogamy box, and it just doesn't work, you know. So, you know, I'm not sure if it's natural or not. You know, I mean, definitely 2012, some things we do are just done, you know, and if we do anything else, we're frowned upon. Except for if you look at different cultures like, I believe the Mormons, if I'm mistaken, they deal with polygamy, as do, you know, certain Muslims. Like the Quran says, you have I think up to four wives. So, you know, I guess it's out here, you know, in a Judeo-Christian society that we frown upon not just having one person, and you know, it's tough. We made that decision that, okay, well, this is the person I'm going to be with forever. And it's a real tough thing to do because, you know, you only get one shot. You know, so,
yeah, and I guess I've never, I haven't really had that struggle personally. You know, if that is what our culture's norm is, I've been very comfortable in that norm. So I guess that's probably where some of my shock factor came from, is that I would actually be okay outside of that norm. And I was really honest when I took that test.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy questions.
Yeah.
Like, would you be in a relationship with, you know, four women? That's like, I think I could do something like that. And then four men, like, oh, you know. And I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty detailed. Three men or two women and one man. And I mean, it was very interesting how it was.
Yeah, mathematical combination.
And I had to really think about that, like, how would that work? Nah, that wouldn't work. Okay, that could possibly be cool. So,
I think that a lot of it may have to do with people being possessive, you know, and maybe jealousy. Because a lot of times when you hear about just maybe, let's say, a man having more than one woman, you know, a lot of women, you know, that I know saying, well, no, hell no, I'm not, you know, can't even have female friends. Because that sense of possession is so strong. Okay, this is my person. And the experiences that this person has is limited to me, you know, in this particular arena. And, you know, you don't meet any more than women. because I'm not trying to have you to naturally feel that which was nobody else. And it is natural, you know. And of course, it does take, you know, and it's not your culture, your lifestyle, your orientation. It does take a strong person to just ignore certain things and, you know, shut certain things down to be disciplined within, you know, monogamy, you know. But I think, you know, from my perspective, that there's a whole lot of fighting natural feelings, you know, sometimes, unless you just shut yourself out to the world, which a lot of folks do, you know. So, I mean, I've never... Say what?
Oh, no, I was saying, no, I agree. I mean, in order to function in this society, you have to certainly fight some natural impulses. Lord knows I do on a daily basis, not necessarily from a polyamorous standpoint, but just from a criminal standpoint. So, yeah, no, but I go ahead.
Well, I was asking, is polyamory, is that criminal? Like, because I know that you're not, like, bigamy, I think, is criminal, right, in some states?
In some states, and I know polygamy is in the U.S., but we can find out more about that tonight. I think that's a very good question. It's probably one of those stereotypes, you know, that people have.
Right. Exactly. You know, this big polyamory movement, like, to get married and stuff like that, because obviously it's against the law to have more than one partner, but... And they're lobbying for that. So hopefully none of our guests outlaws. I don't want to run nothing like that. But, you know, they're safe here. And
your story is safe with us.
Your story, yeah. And if you guys have any questions out there, you can call in 323-657-1479. And dial 1 to speak. That's 323-657-1479. And please try to call early. Don't do how you guys do every week, because we will be having guests very shortly. So if you have something to say, please call. You know, if you're with it, you're not with it, you have experience with it, you know, let us know. And,
someone is listening.
We actually have someone on the line right now. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We hear you.
Yes, we can. I know that voice.
This is Doc P. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
I was just calling in. I'm actually on my way into the grocery store, but in terms of the legal question, I just found out that practicing polygamy is grounds to be denied a visa coming into America. So I just wanted to give that.
Wait, so if you come from, like, you know, I don't want to say any name, let's say Romania, right, and you have two wives, you can't have a visa to come here?
It's grounds to be denied, because I was looking at a visa application for something totally different, but on the list of things that you have, like, polygamy is one of the things that you would have to check if you practice polygamy.
Oh, man. The man strikes again. Oh, man, I tell you.
I keep listening, huh?
Well, what is your take on polygamy or polyamory?
Oh, I know a couple of friends who practice it. So, you know, I think my opinion is if you're a black man in America, you're probably going to end up getting involved in it, whether you marry with the chick or not. So... I don't really know. I think it's more popular than people tend to think. I think when you have situations where it's one dude and he got three baby mamas and they all know, but they bickering with each other, I think society and the kids would be a lot better if they realized all three of us are not going to leave this brother alone. All three of us are having this man's kids. We can have a discount on the rent if we move into a big place. When he start cutting up with you, I'm going to let you know that, girl, he cutting up with me. He on his way to see you. I think at that point, society would be a lot better. So that's my opinion.
Wow. You think it's just grown folk business. It's just grown folk business. That's all. That's all. Okay.
You're raising your kids.
For you?
We all love Victorious. We got eight of his kids. We move in together and just relax.
Well, I'm going to the grocery store. Hi, y'all.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in, Doc P. Wow. So don't check the box if you're
I think she's shopping for the compound right now.
Yeah, that's what I think. She's talking. I have lots of friends who, right. Yes, I have friends also.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. So, yeah, wow, American Eagle trip. So if you have more than one husband or more than one wife, they can deny you the visa. That's kind of crazy. Oh, man, we are here tonight. We have a friend to the room. We have the Angry MILF. Number one is on the line. We got to give her a new name. We need a new name for her this year, though.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me okay?
We hear you. We always hear you.
Can you hear me? Okay, because I'm in the car. Interesting topic tonight. I have been hearing a lot about this whole polyamory, polygamy, polygyny, polyandry, poly. And
Polydora?
My biggest concern is, like, cooties, diseases.
Oh, but
you
people
know?
Are getting those anyways.
Mm.
I mean, they really are.
I mean,
it's one thing to me, it's one thing to know that you're in a relationship where you're having, you know, shared partners. That way you can, you're in a better position to protect yourself than in these fake monogamous relationships that we're all in.
Fake monogamous.
And, you know, fake racist, fake monogamous, fake, you know. Right, but what do you think about that? Because there's a false sense of security in monogamous relationships.
You're absolutely right. You have a point. And I think that's the reason why a lot of people are turning towards this whole, you know, poly phenomena, whatever you want to call it, because they do kind of have the attitude like, well, you know, he's going to cheat anyway. And I just kind of have this attitude like all of it is just geared towards women and their fears of not being able to find a good man, and they just keep trying to drill into our heads that there's a man shortage. And I just think that it's a whole lot of trickery to try to get a lot of women to fight against what is our natural inclination to be monogamous. And they just keep trying to put these fancy names and fancy terms and tie it up in this fancy bow. And it's just another way of saying just, you know, let's just let him go out and be a whore and not be accountable.
Wow, okay. That's tough.
Well taken. And we definitely get to hear from our guest tonight that can certainly share.
I mean, I'm definitely interested in hearing from, you know, the guests. Are they supposed to be, like, you know, experts on this topic? Because I'm definitely interested in hearing their take on it. And at the end of the show, who knows, maybe I might walk away with a change of heart. But right now, that's how I do.
You hear that, world? She's almost ready. Well, thank you, caller. Shai, you on the line?
Yo.
Yeah, Shai.
Hey, we told everyone that you're totally poly.
Totally poly, huh?
Yeah.
Did we reveal the test?
Yeah, we did. You were progressive.
And that's less than the rest of y'all, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
where's the boo sound? Let's boo him.
I'm all about monogamy, man. You know.
I hear that. Yeah. Not tonight, you ain't. But yo, it's funny because a couple of our callers pretty much is like, well, polyamory is like an answer to men not being able to keep it in their pants, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Like, the same old man's gonna cheat anyway, he's gonna get another woman anyway. I think that there's a myth that polyamory is all about the men, you know, and like you could have a group of three men and three women all together. You know, it's not necessarily that the man who initiates that, you know. And we have one more caller, and then we're going to get to our special guest, who I'm not sure if they are experts, but they've been living their life for, you know, a couple of decades and all that. So definitely they can answer all of our questions. Well, we have caller 940 on air. If your area code is 940.
Yes. Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
You're on.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. I just think that people get confused because they think that polyamory is just like going to be one man and a bunch of women, but it's a group of people. It could be half men, half women, anything like that. And it's not just sexual. It's not about, oh, I'm a woman and I'm afraid that this man's going to have sex with a lot of people, so I'm just going to accept all the other women he's having sex with. But it's not that. I think it's more about, like, emotions and all that stuff. Not that I agree, because I think human nature should be taken into account.
Caller, are you polyamorous?
I'm not.
Why not?
I think that women and men and people are too jealous. This isn't the biblical times. We don't have to populate the earth. There's no point to still having polyamorous people.
Well, you know, we did just finish saying, though, that it's not necessarily about sex, or populating the earth ain't necessarily what it's about. What about love?
But can you honestly say you can see yourself in love with a bunch of different people? Like, if you have a bunch of friends, that's one thing. And you can love certain parts of people, but honestly, inside, I think you think that you want to take all these parts of these people and put them in one person. So you're settling for a polyamorous relationship because you're too afraid to go out and find one person that satisfies all of these desires.
What if you can't find that one person, though?
But is it realistic, and is it fair to press one person to have everything that you expected to have before you met this person?
Fair to ask a bunch of people to be in a relationship with you because you can't settle?
Well, no. And I think, and that's what you came on the phone and said, that it's not about one man having more than one woman. It's about, you know, a community effort. Yeah, that's slick, right? You almost got me. You know, but it's a community effort, and the women are involved, too. You said half man, half woman. I was listening to you. So, no, it's not fair to say, hey, baby, I need you and this one and that one. It's not about that. It's about people who are, you know, in a certain orientation or culture that all agree upon this. It's not about forcing someone who is a monogamist and saying, well, you know what, this is wrong. Come here with me. It's not about, you know, really proselytizing.
Polyamory is wrong. I just think that you have to take human nature into account. We're just naturally, like you guys were talking about when you first started, we are naturally jealous people. We're naturally just like, we want to be number one. Like, even if you're in a polyamorous relationship, there's always a woman who wants to be HBIC. Like,
And I think that definitely depends on the culture that you're from. I don't think that every culture is naturally jealous in that way.
Really?
I don't think I think it's human nature. Like, it's regardless of if you say it, you still feel it.
I mean, I know for me, yes, but
my name's Nicole. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I was saying, call them. Then we have to let you go. We have our guests on the line, and you can ask them questions later on. But I just wanted to say that you can have a monogamous relationship, and you will still have jealousy. Like, jealousy ain't going to be cured with one wife, 10 wives, 10 husbands. If you're jealous, you're jealous. And you can't really say, well, it's not going to work because we're jealous. You know, you may not be able to deal with one man because you're jealous. So, I mean, you really need to kill jealousy, period. You know what I'm saying? Polyamory.
I just don't think necessarily polyamory is going to be your answer.
Okay, well, thanks. And If you guys want to give a call and ask our guest some questions, remember, write it down, 323-657-1479. We got folks on the line. But, Jazz, who do we have first?
Okay, so I'm very excited to welcome to our show.
I'm excited, too.
Dr. Yeah, I am, because we have a lot of questions, and we have no answers. Our first guest is Dr. Deborah Annapole, who attended the Barnard College, and she graduated from the University of California at Berkeley and received her PhD in clinical psychology from the University of Washington. And Dr. Annapole is also an esteemed author. She is the author of Polyamory in the 21st Century, Polyamory, the New Love Without Limits, and the Seven Natural Laws of Love. She's also the co-founder of Loving More magazine and also the producer of the video, which we'll probably have to view and share with our listeners, the Pelvic Heart Integration. We welcome Dr. Annapole to the show, and so you all know she is currently offering training and consultation. So, Dr. Annapole, are you joining us from Hawaii, or your San Francisco Bay home?
I'm in San Francisco today.
Okay, well, thank you.
You.
So you've been listening in?
I've been listening.
And
what do we have
But I can't hear when you both talk at once.
Jazz,
so I'll let Vic talk. Okay, I'll go first. So how far off base are we on the topic of polyamory? We definitely need education here, so give us a starting point.
Okay, well, let me say first of all that, you know, just because I've been playing in this area for about 30 years now doesn't really mean that I know anything at all. But I have a lot of opinions, and those opinions are based on both my personal experience and the experiences of people that I've coached who've come to my workshops. And the thing is, we're very, very different as human beings. Everyone is not the same. So I think everything that everyone said is true for them, but it's not the same for everyone. That's why when we first started with this concept of polyamory, the idea was not that, okay, monogamy's out, now everyone has to be non-monogamous. It was more about choice, to make it okay for people to make choices that work for them and to change their minds.
Okay. Now, how did you first become polyamorous? Like, when did you first accept that life?
Well, you know, what happened for me was I realized when I was about 30 and I was ending my second marriage. Most of my friends hadn't gotten married once yet. And I said, okay, there seems to be a pattern developing here. One four-year relationship, then another four-year relationship. If this pattern continues for the rest of my life, how many marriages, how many relationships is that going to be by the time I'm 80? And that just didn't sound like something that I wanted to do. I was also studying domestic violence. I was researching domestic violence in my doctoral program, and I was seeing a lot of similarities between what's considered a healthy marriage and the marriages where women and sometimes men were experiencing physical and emotional abuse, because it's all about control. And I was as much of a control freak as anyone else, but I realized this is not a good way to have a relationship. So I started asking some questions. I started wanting to see what other possibilities there could be for me, other than, a couple of dozen four-year relationships, one after the other, because breaking up is tough. once I started looking into it, I realized actually I had been polyamorous, and we didn't have the word at that point. I was using responsible non-monogamy, which in retrospect, that was a better choice because that really describes something. And you know, these days, polyamory, 10 different people could mean 10 different things by it. It's not necessarily all one thing. And that's okay, except that it's confusing when people think they're talking about the same thing. Mm-hmm. Now, this happens in monogamy, too. You know, mm-hmm. two people get married, they agree to be monogamous, and what one of them thinks that means is that we're mated, but I'm going to have secret affairs, and it's okay if you don't find out about it. And the other one thinks that it actually means that it's just us, and that's exclusive, and no sex with anybody else. So this is, you know, it could happen in monogamy too, but in polyamory it could really mean a lot of different things. But I liked the word when we came up with it because it gave me a way to understand how I had been behaving my whole life, that I couldn't really see that there were any choices other than monogamous marriage and dating because there was no language for it.
Okay. Are you currently in a relationship or relationships?
I am not in a primary relationship, or rather I should say my primary relationship is with myself and the planet.
That's important.
I've been married 3 times, and I won't say never again because next thing I knew I'd be getting married again if I said that. But I really feel that for me, what's much more sustainable, and sustainability has been really what I was interested in from the beginning. I could see that monogamous marriage was not sustainable for me. And actually, I found an open marriage wasn't really that much more sustainable. I was in an open marriage, and that lasted twice as long as the monogamous marriages, but just for me, my really sustainable relationships, the ones that have lasted 20, 30, 40 years, have been with people that I don't live with, that I don't have children with, that I don't share finances with. So those relationships for me are much more sustainable. And, you know, all of us, somewhere back in the past, for some of us hundreds, maybe thousands of years ago, for others more recently, we lived not in nuclear families, but in tribes. And so for me, this seems like a much better way to go, kind of like the dolphins. They have their pod, and within their pod, they can relate however they want. They can have sex with whoever they want. They all take care of each other. They all take care of the babies. And I think if we went way back into the origins of life as humans, that's how we're programmed. That's our biology.
Okay. So as opposed to our last caller who said that as humans we're programmed to monogamy, you think the opposite or you think different?
Well, you know, this is not necessarily just a matter of opinion. There's a man named Christopher Ryan and his wife Casilda Jaysa recently, I say recently, in the last couple of years, wrote a book called Sex at Dawn, The Prehistoric Origin of Modern Sexuality. And in that book, which is, I think, been on the New York Times bestseller list, I mean, a lot of people are reading this book. It's creating quite a stir. And what they do is they go through all the evidence, both mostly from animals, chimpanzees, bonobos, but also other archaeological evidence. And not that science is always right, but this is a pretty strong scientific argument that actually, no, humans were never monogamous. Now, that doesn't mean that an individual human can't choose to be monogamous for a period of time or even a whole lifetime, but that's quite rare.
Okay.
Well, this is Jasmine, and I wanted to, I mean, I thought one of the things I really liked about what you mentioned is how you lived, you know, your life and your relationships based on what works for you. So, you know, within in your marriage, you know, you've tried marriages, you've tried open relationships, and I think that is probably one of the bigger points and messages that I will take back is that, you know, over the course of time, you can try different things that work for you, and you've been successful throughout your life and career. I guess that's pretty safe to say. So that's really a great thing. But I do have a question for you, but before I do, in case any of our listeners have questions and want to dial in and comment, you can dial 323-657-1479 and dial the number 1, and we'll be happy to have some questions for our guests. But one of the questions I wanted to ask you is because you mentioned that the word polyamorous, polygamy, and all of these, monogamy, all those things can mean different things to different people. Is there a standard definition that for polyamorous that we can use for the context of the show? And also with that, can you share with us a few common stereotypes? We want to make sure that we dispel any myths if we can with our listeners tonight.
Okay, well, you know, I wish I could say there was a common definition for polyamory, but there really isn't, other than the word, it's an invented word, and it comes from the Greek poly and the Latin amory, so many loves. Literally, it means many loves, nothing about sex at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's commonly understood to have something to do with having both a sexual and an emotional connection with more than one person at the same time, which includes complete honesty, openness, and consent with all the parties. But that could look a lot of different ways. Probably an open couple, or could be an open triad or something else. That's probably the most common. I think it's the most appealing to people because it's kind of familiar. It's like being in a closed couple, only it's an open couple. But there's still really this focus on two people that are special, primary, number one with each other. But that's not the only way it can look. A lot of people really like the concept of group marriage, which whether that's three people or four or five, I think, yeah, if you get too many more than that, it starts getting challenging just logistically. But the idea that there could be more than two people in a marriage-like relationship is a really appealing idea to a lot of people, but it's the least common form of polyamory. And then another very common form is what I've called an intimate network, and that's where I took the word internet, which was the organization I founded 30 years ago maybe, which has offered coaching, books, articles, workshops for people that either want to explore the idea of polyamory or who are struggling with it. And the truth is a lot of people do struggle with it, and the thing that they struggle with most often is jealousy. Now, jealousy means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Some people are more jealous than others. Some people are really not very jealous at all, and other people don't seem to be able to get over it no matter how hard they try. But the majority of people can learn to manage their jealousy. It's, you know, we learn to manage our anger, our anxiety, our depression, all these other emotions. We can manage our jealousy too if we wish to.
Great. That's a great point. We can definitely chat on this for quite some time. But before we go any further, I wanted to make sure our listeners know how they can contact you, Dr. Anna Paul, and take a look at some of your work before we welcome our next guest. So do you mind sharing your contact information or your website?
Okay, thank you. Yeah, my website is lovewithoutlimits.com. Just all run together, lovewithoutlimits.com. And there's a lot of free articles there. And there's also listings of upcoming events and my coaching services and my books. And Polyamory in the 21st Century is the latest one. It's just out in paperback this month. And it's a good place to start for people that really want to get an overview, the good, the bad, the ugly, the whole ball of wax. What's polyamory all about?
Good. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us, and we will be sure to check out your website. We are sharing it with our guests in the chat room.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Pleasure having you on. So, definitely feel more informed and also know where to get more information.
Yeah, definitely.
So, guys, before we go to our next guest, definitely a due applause to Dr. Anna Paul. Before we go to our next guest, I just want to say that Dr. Anna Paul and our next guest were kind enough. You know, they're all into this whole bit of sharing that they even shared with the three of us and our listeners a 10% off coupon for us and our listeners that may be interested in attending the Poly Living Conference. So the coupon code for that is Emotion Picture, so they'll know who sent them. And you can learn more about that conference coming up at www.polyliving.org, and that is in the chat room, and of course we'll make it available to you on our page.
So the three of us, like how that sounds. Yeah. So who's our next guest?
Okay, so our next guest is Robin Trask. And Robin is the executive director and editor of Loving More Nonprofit and Magazine since October 2004. And Robin shares with us that her personal experience with polyamorous is 21 years in an openly polyamorous relationship or relationships. And she's also a mother of 23 years, so she brings to us a different perspective or an additional perspective. She runs several support groups, teaching and facilitating relationships and sexuality workshops. So let us give a warm welcome to Robin Trask.
Yay. Robin, you're here.
Hi, Robin.
How you guys doing?
We're doing okay. You've been quiet. What have you heard? What's
the
guy?
She's laughing.
She's like, knock it off.
She's laughing.
Hey, you know, I do that a lot. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The caller that you had calling earlier was talking about, you know, like Deborah Anatole was saying, you know, monogamy being whether it was natural or not. That's often a question that comes up, and the question of jealousy is always a big one as well. And I always tell people when I'm, like, counseling or working with people, you know, jealousy is a learned thing that I think we learn to be jealous. And as, like, two-year-olds, most of us have to learn to not be jealous, like we have to share our toys. Mm-hmm. I think as adults we can learn not to be jealous, too. And not everyone experiences jealousy. I envy people who don't.
Hmm. Now, it's something that's been said a lot, and it's said a lot right now in the chat room, is that polyamory, from the perspective of a woman, pretty much is her resignation that a man is going to cheat on her, and she really has no chance for true monogamy. It's kind of like, well, you know, you know you're going to fail or have failed before, and so your only alternative is polyamory. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it depends on the person, and I think it also depends on the community. I know for me, polyamory is something that is an orientation for me. I don't believe I'm a naturally monogamous person. I know people who are, not a lot of them, but I do know a few. And I don't think it's necessarily a resignation. I think there can be a recognition that many people are not monogamous. That doesn't mean that there aren't monogamous people out there who want a lifelong monogamous relationship. But there are a lot of people out there who want polyamory, too, or multiple partners in some way or form. Polyamory simply is one form. And I think there's lots of ways to do that and lots of ways to have your relationships. For me, you know, when people ask about that question, you know, are you just resigning yourself? It was actually a choice that I made when I was like 24 years old. Mm. And it was not necessarily a choice as much as a realization that I wasn't monogamous and that the people in my life had to accept that I wasn't monogamous. And I wanted to be honest. I didn't want to lie and I didn't want to cheat. And
well,
that's where I came from with it.
How did that go the first time? What was that first conversation like?
The first conversation was really with myself.
Okay.
I had been engaged something like 6 times.
Mm.
Never could quite go through the marriage ceremony and realized that there was a reason for that, that it was really, I didn't feel like I could get up there and promise to be monogamous for the rest of my life with one person. And so that was a real big realization for me. I did end up in an 18-year polyamorous marriage. And probably the first person that I really talked openly about it was my husband at the time. Before we got married, we both wanted this. And so we had our whole marriage was open and polyamorous.
And how long have you been married?
I was married. I'm no longer married. I was married for 18 years.
Okay. Now,
can I ask a question? Okay, what does, you know, and I know that this can be different for everyone, but I just want to hear, you know, from your perspective, what does an open marriage, what did that look like, you know, what was that to you?
Well, I think, you know, for me, as when I say an open polyamorous marriage, it means that I wasn't looking for, nor my husband was looking for, like, polyfidelity, which can be a group marriage or a group relationship where everybody's sexually faithful within that group. That was not what we were looking for. We were open to possibilities of what might happen. In my current relationship, I'm in a primary relationship with someone, and we're open to somebody else coming in as a possible primary partner in the future. So it would be more than just the two of us. Right now it's the two of us. He has other partners. I have other partners. So it comes in so many different forms, and it evolves and changes over time. I think that's one of the things that I've really observed is that there's a growth through this and a realization of, you know, really coming from my heart. But being able to relate to several people that you actually live with, share finances with, can be much more complicated. It's complicated enough with one person, but to add other people brings up a complication to that.
Right.
So now you're a mother. Do you have children from your last relationship?
I have children. I have 3 children.
Okay.
And my oldest, I was actually a single mom. I had my oldest when I was single,
okay,
when I was 24. And then my other 2 children were with my husband. They are range in age now from age 15 to 24.
Okay.
And my oldest is a polyamory activist at this point.
Wow. Okay. And what about your youngest? Do they understand? You know, because I'm sure, you know, growing up, everyone else's parents monogamous or trying to be monogamous, and here you have, you know, your situation. So what was it like to discuss with your children the differences with your orientation?
I think for them it was, you know, for them it was normal. It's like this is how they were raised. They were raised in this family, and it was more like explaining to them why other people weren't this way. Recently, a friend of ours, her daughter, who I've known since she was little, you know, very little, who's also polyamorous, she was looking at one of our information pamphlets, which is like an FAQ that gives people information on polyamory. And she looked at us with a strange look. She's like 13 years old, and she goes, "Do people really need this information? You know, people don't understand polyamory."
Hmm.
We don't.
She was just had this very, you know, confused look on her face. It's like, yes, a lot of people don't. That's, you know, it's just a different world for them. To think about it, my oldest, I think, said it the best. He, when he was about 20, he came to me. He said he was very aggravated because he had been shown this whole world of a way to relate, in a very authentic and very honest way, in a very loving way. And he wanted, you know, he wanted to share, you know, love with more than one person. But as he tried to date people, they just didn't get that and didn't understand. Mm. And they often assume it's just about sex, and it's not. Mm.
Well, it sounds a bit frustrating.
Oh, yeah. I think it has been frustrating for him to meet people. And then there's a certain amount of maturity involved. You know, it takes maturity to have healthy relationships. And it takes some maturity to have healthy relationships with more than one person. So it takes some honesty and really being honest with who you are, especially to yourself, about what you want, being able to speak openly, being able to say, this is what I need, this is what I want, and really decide and negotiate with somebody whether or not this relationship is going to give you those things or whether it's a right relationship for the person you're involved with.
So it's interesting. Is there one big community, like one big polyamory community that, you know, you all have meetings, or how does that work?
Well, there is an overall polyamory movement and leadership organization that we're a part of. And then Loving More is a national nonprofit organization for polyamory awareness. And so we have annual conferences around the country, and we do different things and places for people to learn. There are also numerous communities throughout the country, smaller communities, and even some very big communities on the East Coast especially, and on the West Coast. In the middle of the country, it's a little more thin where we are. And we do have annual conferences, and a lot of people get a chance to meet there. On our website, we do have links to groups all over the country.
Okay. Now, you know, you heard that Jasmine, Sha, and I, we took these tests. And Sha was progressive, and Jasmine and I, we're way poly, so says the test. How do you know, in your perspective, if your orientation is polyamorous?
I think it's different for different people, and I also will say that I think sometimes for people it's simply a choice. Whether it's an orientation or a choice is kind of an individual thing. But for me, and all I can do, you know, all I can talk about is my perspective and other people that I've seen or people who have come to me, and that is that you realize that you go through relationship from relationship to relationship, or some people have a lot of trouble with commitment. They'll meet somebody, and of course they've been told all their lives that they've got to find the one true person who's going to, you know, make all others go away or whatever. And so they find, well, I've been dating this person for so long, and now I'm attracted to somebody else. So obviously they're not the one, so they just discard them and start, you know, dating the new person. And they keep doing this in the repeated serial monogamy. That may be an indication that you might want to look at something different. You know, so I think that are different things. For me, I, in all honesty, going back, I cheated on my fiancé. I had a long-term affair with somebody. I'm actually still involved with the person that I had the affair with when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Were you with that person through the marriage, the 18-year marriage, or did you guys take a break in?
Nope. We've been together 27 years.
Wow. He's been with you through the divorce.
Yeah.
That's
and he is married as well.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, we've had the long-term relationship. Most of my relationships are very long-term.
Now let's think about the person.
He's
married as well?
Yes.
Now, is his wife polyamorous also, or something?
That was a unique situation, actually, when we were together before he got married. When he got married, he sat his fiancée down before they got married and said, you know, I love Robin, she's in my life, and if you need to accept this or we can't get married.
Ooh,
so I always joke that I'm grandfathered
in. Now, does he have to work in his relationship classes?
Huh? You grandfathered in?
I was expecting this man's feet. I'd like to read his book.
No, he's not allowed to see anyone else.
That's it. The limit is Robin. That was it.
Yep.
Okay. Look at you.
And so it can be different for everyone.
Okay.
Wow. Now, this is my last question.
We should have started with that question.
Yeah, right. My last question is within the community, as it were. Do you ever find people who are just like sleazebags, like some people who just want to have sex with more than one woman or man and pretend to be polyamorous?
Yeah, we sure do. And I mean, you know, it's, to me, there's nothing wrong with whatever a person is desiring or wanting, as long as they're honest with themselves and their partners about what it is they want. There's a difference between polyamory and swinging and polygamy. All of these have, like, different definitions, if you will, and there's a lot of gray area between them. There are people who are polyamorous and they also swing. They also are swingers. There are people who are swingers who are also polyamorous. So, you know, I do think that you find a lot of different ways in which people will express their relationships and their sexual relationships and love relationships. And so it really just depends on the person. And I think that it's really important that people know who they are, you know, who they are inside and what it is that they want. And the problem I see in our culture is that we've only been given one way to do relationships, and that's monogamous. And we're supposed to find our one true soulmate, and we're not given any other option. And what if that doesn't work for you? What if that isn't the right way for you? And so my passion is just giving people the chance to explore what else is possible and then finding out where they fit. And I always tell people, you know, wouldn't it be better to sit down across from somebody and have them say, yeah, I explored all that stuff and I'm monogamous. I know that's who I am. Rather than wonder if that's, you know, if they had a chance, would they do something else?
Well, I think tonight we certainly gave our listeners several options. That there is no that there's no one way to be happy in your relationship. And I want to definitely thank you, Robin, for being on the show and sharing your personal experience.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
It was absolutely very enlightening. I just want to make sure our listeners also know how they can contact you. So I know I shared the link in the chat room, but would you mind telling us the best way to contact you?
The best way to contact me is, well, you can email me at robin@lovemore.com. And then our website, which is www.lovemore.com, has a lot of good information, including an FAQ, which answers a lot of the questions we talked about here and some that we didn't cover.
Fantastic. Thank you. So, guys, any final words? Are you... Shah, are you any more progressive than you were? Vic, are you any more poly than Wei now?
I'd rather not answer that question. Shah?
That means yes. Shah?
I think Shah went to go find some co-wife.
I was going to say, he went to go find another, or he's on his way to go use that 10% coupon. Thank you again, Robin,
yeah, right.
And Paul, for offering that.
New York. yeah, we had a lot of callers tonight. We had to shut some of you guys down. Yeah, I told y'all, Coralie, she didn't listen to me. Next show, actually, it kind of relates a bit. We're talking about marriage and, you know, what is it good for? Is it just a contract? Is it all about true love? Is it about, you know, whatever it is, you know, call us up, tell a friend. Jazz, any last? Jazz, you have a caller on the line. Did we let him through? Like 1 minute left.
Yeah, we have about 60 seconds left, yes. All of a sudden that marriage
all right,
show sounds
caller,
kind of boring.
Caller, you have 25 seconds. Shoot.
Hello?
Yeah,
hello?
Nah, you got 20 seconds now. Come on.
What's up, y'all? Good show, man. I was listening to the whole show. It was very educational. I appreciate this, and y'all keep doing what y'all doing. Everybody out there, regardless of if you're in a monogamous or polyamorous relationship, be careful. And, you know, diseases and hearts, like, period. Like, that's the one thing you got to be careful, whatever you do. And that's it. But good show, y'all, man. That was real good. I liked it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Vic, I need the doctor from San Francisco. I need her info.
You see Dr. Annabelle's info? All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, one house.
Check out the chat room. We have a website. And what is the info? We have it.
We do. She can also be reached at www.lovemore.com. That's pretty easy to remember. And please do not hit on our guest.
Not hit, well, I don't know. Yeah, well, you know. You want to try rapping, I'm not sure. But thank y'all, and we will see you next week.
Yay.